This is Ozarks at Large. Every day, there are millions of Americans providing care for a loved one. The Family Caregiver Alliance estimates in the past 12 months, more than 34 million people in the country provided unpaid care to an adult age 50 or older. And of that 34 million, about 15% of the caregivers are providing unpaid care for at least two adults. For our latest conversation about aging and health, we concentrate on unpaid caregivers. We asked Brandy Schneider, Director of Aging Services and Administration at Schmieding Center in Springdale with the University of Arkansas for Medical Sciences, to come back to the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio. She says the term caregiver can have a broad definition.
So what that really includes is a family member, a spouse, or it could be a friend or a neighbor who has a substantial relationship with someone and helps them with their activities of daily living or just running errands for them, just helping them with what they need to do to navigate through the day or the week.
In preparation for this conversation, we've exchanged some statistics. It's approximately 34.2 million Americans who've provided, and this is a big word, unpaid care to an adult age 50 or over in just the last year.
Correct. Correct.
Over 34 million.
Yeah. And I think you're right. Unpaid is the key word. You know, unpaid caregiving really totals more than what Medicaid spends on caregiving, what private pay home care agencies spend on caregiving combined. So we are, as a society, as a community, providing a substantial amount of caregiving for family members, just as informal caregivers, not getting paid for those things that we do for our loved ones every day.
And of course, familial relationships you do things for your family throughout the course of life that you don't get paid for. But this is an estimated economic value of over $470 billion.
Correct. I mean, imagine if we were actually having to pay for that as a society, how much that would cost us in addition to what we're already paying for the formal caregiving services.
Doesn't mean, though, that being a caregiver for a loved one doesn't have a cost. It can affect the physical and mental and emotional well-being of a caregiver?
Absolutely. So, you know, most caregivers, I would say when I'm in a group of people and I ask them how many are caregivers, many of them don't even raise their hands because they don't realize that they're caregivers. They're just son or daughter or partner or spouse who is providing care as an extension of what they would do every day for someone. But they truly are caregivers, and being a caregiver really does take an emotional and physical toll on the person that's providing that care. I don't think we realize how much of a toll that really takes on family caregivers. You know, it can affect things. Family caregivers are at a much higher risk for things like depression and anxiety. Cardiovascular risk factors are much higher in family caregivers. Even the ability to heal wounds quickly is compromised in family caregivers. Immune health is certainly compromised. So if I catch the flu as a non-family caregiver, I will get over that flu much more quickly than someone who's providing care for a loved one. And it's just because of the stress that's related to that. And we know what stress can do to our bodies.
And many of these caregivers are also probably perhaps caregivers for younger people, or working a job, or both, or more.
Correct. Yeah, and the economic toll, you know, in addition to just the physical toll that it takes, if someone is working a full-time job, you know, they often have to decrease their hours at work or quit their jobs entirely to help take care of a loved one. You know, many of them also have teenage children or younger children that they're taking care of, so we're right in that sandwich generation where people are trying to take care of their children, but also an adult family member or older adult family member as well. And so, you know, just because you're a caregiver doesn't mean that everything else in your life just stops happening. You're still responsible for, you know, everything else that happens in life. You know, if you're not feeling well, if your kids have basketball games and you're trying to take care of mom, you know, caregivers are often sort of torn between how much time do I spend with my children and how much time should I spend caring for my older adult loved one that I'm taking care of.
Okay, I'm about to ask a multi-part question, I think, and answer whichever parts you feel like you can't answer. What can we do to make sure that caregivers are taken care of as well? And I say we, so let's address the person, self-care, who's a caregiver, we
who might know someone, and then we, the royal we, if we can address that, as a society.
Yeah. So I think, first of all, just recognizing the value of those informal caregivers as a society and looking at ways, you know, that we can maybe reimburse people from their care, looking at ways we can have flexible hours in people's jobs so they don't have to quit their jobs in order to take care of a loved one, and just recognizing some of the benefits that we need to give employees to help take care of loved ones. Self-care for caregivers is a really hard thing to do, and I say all the time, people are too busy being caregivers to take time out to be a better caregiver. And so one of the things that we can do if we recognize someone as a family caregiver is to give them that gift of time that they can't always give themselves. And the way to do that, you know, we are so good at saying, well, just call me if you need anything, or if you need anything, just let me know. And most caregivers are not going to be, they're just not going to do that because they're too busy to think about, okay, now I have to call someone to help me with this. That's just one more thing that we're adding to their plate. Or they just feel like I can do this on my own, so they don't reach out for help. So, you know, I recommend to people, tell them this is what I'm going to do for you rather than if you need anything, call me. So I'm going to bring dinner over to you Thursday night. Does that night work okay for you? Or I'm going to come and sit with your husband while you go to church Sunday, or while you go to book club Wednesday night, and just offer to do that for them so they don't have to put that on their to-do list to remember to reach out and ask for help. So just recognizing that they need help and then just responding accordingly rather than waiting for them to ask. And, you know, maybe most importantly, just thank them for what they're doing. You know, most family members who are being cared for don't always take the time to say thank you to the person who's caring for them. And other family members may not remember to thank the caregiver either. So if you know a caregiver, just thank them for what they're doing for their loved one, because it can be a really thankless job. And sometimes just hearing those words of affirmation can go a long ways in helping them to just get through the next day.
There's also a level of advocacy that a caregiver takes on, because you become the advocate for the loved one you're giving care to.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's hard. We're not necessarily just intuitive about navigating through a healthcare system or advocating for what is best for our loved ones. So, you know, definitely a role of advocacy is definitely taken on by the caregiver. And there are resources in the community to help. So, you know, I would encourage people to reach out for resources just to help navigate some of those healthcare systems, just to help know even what questions to ask. You get into a situation and sometimes you don't even know what questions to ask. We're not all healthcare experts.
Right. So. What are some of those resources?
Yeah, we are happy to help at the Schmieding Center. Mm-hmm. We can help navigate through some of those resources, give you some questions to ask, and just connect you with the right places.
Do you know if there is any sort of instruction for medical students or medical professionals how to help a caregiver? I mean, I think so many medical professionals are busy to begin with.
Yeah. We try here at UAMS when we have medical students who go through our medical rotations to really talk to them about caregivers and recognizing what a caregiver looks like and recognizing more of the holistic approach to care. And I think, you know, just as a healthcare profession in general throughout society, we are getting better at recognizing that holistic type of care, that it's not just about the patient sitting in front of you, but if the caregiver can't take care of that person or if the caregiver's stressed, that person's not going to have good health outcomes either. So there really has been, I think, a push towards looking at more of the inter and intradisciplinary approach to healthcare throughout medical schools.
What about loved ones who live a time zone or two away? I mean, you might not be the physical immediate caregiver, but that can take a toll as well?
It can. Yeah, there are unique challenges to being a long-distance caregiver. Challenges with just arranging doctor's appointments or knowing what to look for if mom is not feeling well. Maybe mom still lives alone, but you're sort of that long-distance caregiver for her. So just even knowing what her health concerns might be or knowing how to access resources from so far away. We do have some geriatric care management type resources here in Northwest Arkansas that can help long-distance caregivers navigate that. So those geriatric care managers actually just sort of take on the role of the sort of family member and help to arrange appointments and navigate through some of those resources as well.
Finally, those of us who have the fortune of being in good health right now, can we do something? Can we think about something for the later chapters of our lives that make it easier for people who might be our caregivers in the future?
Yeah, so it's always good to talk to family members about what you want in your life down the road. Complete a living will or some kind of advance directive that talks about what sort of health services you want, what you want if you are not as healthy, what kind of living situations you might want to live in if you can't live on your own. As children and caregivers, we often assume we know what our parents or our family members want, but I know from personal experience what I thought my parents wanted or not, it is not at all what my parents actually want. And so having conversations now before you get to a point you have to make some of those decisions with your loved ones about here is what my expectations are. I do want you to take care of me. I don't want you to move in with me. Just having those conversations so that our caregivers are more equipped and able to make those decisions with us and on our behalf.
And if people want to know more, contact the Schmieding Center?
Yes. So the Schmieding Center, 479-751-3043, or you can go to schmiedingcenter.org.
Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Brandy Schneider is Director of Aging Services and Administration at Schmieding Center in Springdale with the University of Arkansas Medical Sciences Northwest Arkansas campus. Our conversation, a continuation of a series of discussions about aging and health with professionals from the University of Arkansas for Medical Sciences.